As you're turning over to Proverbs 31, I wanted to just highlight one little ministry in the church and then greet some people that you don't know, but know us. Those who do the website of Grace Bible Church, James Oweiler at the head of that list, we're very grateful to him. He sent me some numbers this week. In the last 30 days, 3,230 people have visited our website from 10 different countries, listening to messages. And so this is kind of funny, but there are people that are going to listen to this message. Would you all greet them and say, hello, fellow brothers? We forgot the sisters. Say, hello, fellow sisters.
Hello, fellow sisters.
We hope that's an encouragement to anybody who's listening. I hope you don't think your pastor's crazy, but I thought. People in Australia, in Ireland, even in Africa, India are listening. So we praise the Lord for that. Proverbs chapter 31. We want to begin in verse 10. Would you follow along with me as I read? An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. This is a freestanding poem. It would stand all by itself. It's a complete unit of thought. It's an acrostic in Hebrew that every verse starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it's meant to be memorized. It's what a young woman is to aspire to be. It's what a young man is to look for in a woman. It is the longest description of the virtuous wife, specifically here seen in her role as a wife and mother. It is the Holy Spirit-inspired text for God's standard for a godly wife. And it really completes the theme of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord. A true worshiper of God is somebody who fears the Lord. Proverbs starts with this. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then as we just read, the very end of the book, verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman who what? Fears the Lord is to be praised. In Old Testament terms, this is a woman who had saving faith in Yahweh. She submits to the Lord by being as diligent as a woman as he would have her to be. If we were looking back through the lens of the New Testament, though, and describing a New Testament believer, this is the woman whose sins who have been forgiven. This is the woman who has been made new in Christ and now follows the Lord with all of her heart by doing his will for her life and not her will for her life. Now, if we make a comparison, the Song of Solomon, this is a book that portrays the inner workings and the emotions of a woman who deeply loves her husband. But when you go over to Proverbs 31, it's very practical. It's not the emotional side. It portrays how she practically lives this love out, how it's brought out in day-to-day life. It's not just expression of emotion, but it's expressed in the actions that compel her family to just be amazed at how she has blessed them. She's gone all out for her family. It's not part of her life. This is her life. She's made her family, her service in her home, her entire life. And one thing you'll see about her, she's very content with this. She's a very happy woman. She's happy and delighted in what she does. Well, we're continuing our Mother's Day to Father's Day series on the family. We're talking about family wisdom, and we're using the wisdom family from the Old Testament. So we're calling this family wisdom from the wisdom family. And so today we come to the godly, the virtuous wife. There's no doubt, and I don't think anybody would argue with this, that women have been victimized all through history. There's no doubt that as the physically weaker gender, women have been murdered, they've been raped, they've been denigrated, enslaved, they've been treated with contempt, treated as a lesser person by society in general. And there's no disputing that. I think we would all just grieve that fact. But the lies began when influential women began telling other women that they're also victims because they're stuck at home. They're victims because of this horrible thing called marriage. They're victims because of this horrible person that we're told to serve called God, called the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the real victims, though, are the women who have believed that the home is somehow a lesser domain. The real victims are the ladies who have been told that the home is just not quite up to snuff, up to par with what the world would have you to have. You know, God believes the home is important. He believes the home is so important that having a godly home is a qualification for a man to be a pastor or an elder in the church. God believes the home is so important that in Psalm 113:9, he says that a woman is blessed by God when she receives a home and when she has children. God believes the home is so important that in 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul calls our heaven that we're going home to be with the Lord. Home is huge. It's important. God believes the home is so important that he likens, in verse 10, the value of an excellent wife as being far above precious jewels, very, very hard to find. My grandfather told me once, when I was considering marrying Sylvia, he pulled me aside. He said, "Get her now before she figures out who you are." Precious jewels. The Proverbs 31 woman, this has become a term that we use to describe the woman that is serving the Lord in her home. Sometimes we even shorten it to say a P31 woman. A church that we were in years ago used this term all the time. And a woman who had come to the church, she was a godly woman. She hadn't heard the term, though. And somebody told her, "You're a P31 woman." She thought it was talking about Psalm 31, and she went home and read Psalm 31:11. "Because of all my adversaries, I become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. And those who see me in the street flee from me." That's not the P31 woman we're talking about. Our church's theme is Colossians 1:28. This is everything we do. "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." Our goal is to present mature men and women to Christ as a gift, who are living lives pleasing to the Lord as a response to the forgiveness and eternal life that Christ has given to us. But there's a very practical component to obedience to Christ. It's the only thing that produces true Christian joy. There's no such thing as a disobedient, joyful Christian. Those two don't exist at the same time. Contented assurance from God comes only from obedience to him, understanding that he's in control of my life and he's conforming me to his desires. A wise woman talked about what a happy wife she is. And she talked about this all the time. "I'm such a happy wife." And a friend of hers replied, "Oh, your husband must be wonderful." Well, the wise woman replied, "My being a happy wife has nothing to do with my husband. It has to do with the choices I make. That's what makes me a happy wife." So today, what I want to just show you are the qualities of a happy wife and how to be a happy wife. I want to do these thematically, so we're kind of going to skip around here and go out of order, but we will hit every verse. Let's just start with the basics. First quality of a happy wife, she loves her husband. She loves her husband. Verse 11, "The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain." When it says that he trusts in her, in the deepest part of himself, he's come to a settled peace that he can know that she's trustworthy. There's an idea of confidence in her. And the context, again, from verse 30 is that this is a woman who fears the Lord. This is one who is in love with the Lord and knows that she's forgiven. He's confident that she'll be motivated by her love for the Lord to do the right things. He trusts her character that she won't demean him either in front of him or behind his back. She won't be sneaky with the money. She won't be manipulative in any way. He trusts her that she will be centered and her focus will be on her family in terms of her attention. She's not a woman, in other words, that her husband has to be constantly consumed with trying to keep her in line, trying to keep her from embarrassing herself and embarrassing him. I know of a woman who has so little control on her anger and little control on her tongue that she's humiliated her husband time and time again and caused them to be excluded from events in their own church simply because she can't behave herself. And it's humiliating to him. And I talked to him and he said, it's awful. You know, I can't take her anywhere. This man has no lack of gain. She will be a help to him. She won't be a hindrance to that which the Lord has called him to do. I talked to one man a few months ago. He's gifted in preaching and in teaching, and he's sensed in his life the Lord's urging to be in full-time ministry. But his wife is fearful, and he can't trust her in a number of areas, and so essentially he's been put on the shelf. He cannot be in ministry because his wife is untrustworthy. A loving wife is not just one who says, I love you. Anybody can do that. A loving wife is one who loves her husband by engendering his trust that she will do the right thing for the right reasons. This is, by the way, the first measure of godliness here in this list. In God's eyes is the trust her husband has in her. And she's consistent. It's not an up and down inconsistency. There's a steadiness, a quality of trustworthiness. Verse 12, she does him good and not harm. How often? All the days of her life. She's very consistent in her actions. This is loving him with her character. But she's also very practical about her love for him. She shows love for him in the way she even presents herself. Skip down to verse 22. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. This takes time. She takes time to make her bedroom and to make herself even attractive. And she does it for the right reasons. The right reason, verse 30, is that she fears the Lord. Therefore, she's being praised. She's not shallow. She's not obsessed with herself. She reflects the beauty of her character on the outside as well as on the inside. When her husband comes home, put it this way, he sees a wife who is happy to see him, who has prepared to see him, who looks forward to seeing him. She's given thought to pleasing his eyes and providing a welcoming atmosphere that gives him something to look forward to. I have a simple question I've asked wives in counseling. Does your husband look forward to coming home or dread coming home? It's a very simple answer, either yes or no. Well, this is a woman who loves her husband. He trusts her character, and she makes herself well worth being married to. You know, I mean, sometimes we talk about unconditional love, and that's a good thing. But we can take it to the extreme to tell our spouse, husband or wife, to just simply say, you got to just love me because it's me. Well, to quote the old saying, what have you done for me lately? What have you done to engender that love? Not just to, if your spouse loves you unconditionally and the attitude of your spouse is, okay, I'm loving my wife, loving my husband because I have to. Praise God. If that's your attitude, then what are you doing to make that love flow? This is a woman who loves her family so intensely that even her children rise up and say, this is a godly woman. And they bless her as well. She loves him with her character. How do you be a happy wife? Love your husband. Another way a wife is happy is she loves her children. She loves her children. Verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. Now, scarlet doesn't necessarily refer to the quality and color of the clothing, although that may be part of it. It refers to the thickness of the clothing. If there's snow, the kids are going out with enough clothes. She's proactive. She thinks ahead about the needs of her family, particularly those who are completely dependent on her children. Look how she thinks ahead. Look at verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. She looks well. Grammatically, this means that there is a constancy of examination. She's continually examining her home. She makes preemptive strikes against chaos in her home. Sylvia, I never see her in our home without carrying something because she's like a vacuum cleaner. Wherever she walks, she's grabbing this, grabbing this, grabbing that. Constantly proactive. She's assessing the coming needs. She plans for them. Let me put it this way. Proverbs 31 woman runs her home like a business. There is organization. There is lack of chaos. It is not always spontaneous. If you as a lady have a spontaneous personality, that makes you a lot of fun to be around. But it makes it maybe more difficult for you to be a planner, so you might suffer in the area of planning. You can't spontaneously run a godly home. It happens on purpose. It happens with intentionality. It takes planning and careful observation. And you'll notice the second half of verse 27, she does not eat the bread of idleness. You know, as I've spent a lot of time counseling with children, and one of the most shameful things to a child, and I've heard this from hundreds of kids, is a lazy mother. This is something that makes children just cringe. A mom who's always behind on everything and gives the impression of being incompetent. And by the way, older kids can see the writing on the wall. You know what older kids have told me? They've said, I know what's going to happen. When I'm an adult, I'm going to have to be her parent. I'm going to have to take care of her, not in the sense of taking care of the elderly, but I'm going to have to help her balance her checkbook because she can't do it. I'm going to have to help her have clean clothes because she can't even do that. But this woman, Proverbs 31, she loves her children, not just with words and emotional expressions. She loves them with labor. You know, oftentimes moms want to be loved by their children simply because she gave birth to them, and there is merit to that. We talked about that last week. But these are children who so clearly see the labor that their mother does on their behalf. They don't need to be coaxed into a dutiful once-a-year expression of that love. They don't have to say, oh no, 2 weeks till Mother's Day, what am I going to do? They stand up, they rise up and call her blessed. And by the way, when it says they rise up and call her blessed, this isn't a one-time activity. This indicates an attitude of love and joy. It's an attitude, it's a disposition. They're not appreciative out of a sense of duty. They're appreciative because they're just delighted with having the mom that they have. There's genuine amazement and being overwhelmed at how their mother has loved them and cared for them. Every mother says, I love my children, right? I mean, moms, we all say that, right? But this woman shows it with labor. She's there for them. She's available. She's not trying to get the dad or others to be a substitute mom. She's the mom, and she's there. A happy wife loves her husband. She loves her children. A happy wife is also self-controlled. She's self-controlled. Look with me at verse 26. This is the standard for all of us, men and women. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And the context here is this is in interactions with her husband, interactions with her children, probably with household servants as well. When she speaks, it is to instruct, and she does so with wisdom and with kindness. It's the Hebrew word that is often translated with loving kindness, a loyal, faithful love. She's polite and respectful, even to her children, when she's instructing and correcting them. There's nothing more shameful to a woman than to be seen screaming at her children in public. She's respectful even to them. And by the way, ladies, you can scare the daylights out of your kids with a low, calm tone. You can say, you ready for this? Either do what I say, or when your father gets home, I'll let him deal with you. Which is it? You have 3 seconds to choose. That's the scariest thing in the world to a kid. Calm, cool, and collected. She's not rude. She's not disrespectful to her husband. It always makes me cringe when I see some poor guy just getting lambasted by his wife in public or in private, either one. She is the one who's not constantly critical. She's not constantly berating. By the way, ladies, let me tell you how men work. We have a volume button. And when we hear criticism continually, mentally, we just start turning the volume down. And then pretty soon, like a guy I counseled with, we pretend to be deaf. This guy finally admitted, his family says, we've had to deal with his, you know, he has a severe hearing problem. And finally, I said, how long have you been dealing with this? For 10 years. He couldn't take it anymore. He shocked me, shocked the whole family. He stood up and said, I've had it. I can hear just fine. I have been for years. I'm just sick and tired of listening to this, this, and this. He had fooled everybody into thinking he was nearly deaf just so he could have some peace. And of course, what did his wife do? She started berating him for faking being deaf. She pays attention, though, this woman here, to what she says and how she says it. Those are the two components to verbal communication, right? What you say, the content, and how you say it, the way it comes across. You ask any husband, and I don't think he as often will have an issue with what his wife says with as much as how he says it. Because guys go out in the world and people treat us with respect, and then we come home, and if we're berated, that doesn't work well for us. Certainly, we understand that ladies are built by God to be emotional creatures, but look what she does. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She doesn't let her emotions rule her responses. That she speaks those things that are fitting. She demonstrates self-control. And this ties into verse 11, by the way. The heart of her husband trusts in her. A major part of this is being able to trust that she's self-controlled with her tongue. I want you to notice something. This mentions how she speaks, and it's others-focused. This is the only mention of her tongue, and it is about others. She's not the woman we all know who continually talks about herself, who dominates conversations, who's more assertive verbally than her husband. She's careful and she's kind in what she says. I talked to somebody just in the last few weeks who recently left a church. And I said, well, what was your reason? And they said, the pastor's wife. I said, well, why? And the description that he gave me was that the pastor's wife was so overbearing, such a nonstop talker and interrupter, it became a stumbling block for this whole family because they saw that their own pastor wasn't even being respected in his own home. And so they couldn't do that anymore. I'll just make a very simple observation. You show me a woman who's wise with what she says, and I'll show you a woman who's wise in every area of her life. Somebody who is self-controlled. And of course, that goes for both men and women. Or, on the other hand, you show me a woman that we often refer to as a drama queen, the one who uses her tongue to get attention, and she's probably not very responsible in her marriage and in her family in other areas as well. Self-control. The New Testament says it like this, Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. It has nothing to do with anyone else. It just has to do with you, right? That's it. This woman is self-controlled, and it blesses everyone around her. A happy wife loves her husband, loves her children. She's self-controlled. A happy wife is also pure. She's pure. Look at verse 30 again to see the purity of this woman. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, this is parallelism giving a contrast. In other words, you kind of get a picture of what the wrong type of external beauty would be. This is a contrast of a woman who externally she's charming, she's sweet, she's beautiful, but internally there's no fear of the Lord. She has a wicked heart. There's no changed character. She's a manipulator. She's self-focused. She's a schemer. But the Proverbs 31 woman, she's not just externally religious. Internally, she loves the Lord. There's a true, deep, abiding faith in God. She's not shallow. She's not skin deep. And her day-to-day activities express how she loves the Lord. The purity of her heart is shown by the fact that internally her motivation is to please the Lord. This is her driving ambition. Let me put it this way. A saved person is a changed person, right? Internally, we have a changed heart. We're brand new. We're a new creation in Christ. We think differently about everything now. Therefore, our lives ought to reflect our new minds, our new natures. Apostle Paul put it this way, very familiar to us, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I always like to tell young men, and if you're a young guy here who has yet to be married, I'll tell you the same thing. Don't marry a Barbie doll who is shallow and has no depth at all. You marry a woman who can be praised because she fears the Lord. I'll tell you this, a shallow, vain young woman will ruin your life. She will make you wish that you had never been married. A happy wife loves her husband. She loves her children. She's self-controlled. She's pure. She's also a worker at home. She's a worker at home, and really the lion's share of this whole passage speaks of her work ethic. Look at verse 13. We'll go through this whole center section here. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. This is for the clothing for her household. Now, working with willing hands, by the way, this doesn't mean, obviously, that her hands are willing. Oh, look, my hands are willing to go do things. It has to do with her internal heart's desire, that she doesn't just do things out of a compulsion. Well, I guess I got to take care of this. She actually desires and wants to do the things. Literally means her hands work delightfully, that there's a love and a pleasure. She doesn't grumble about her work. And by the way, there's a major theme through this center section here that she doesn't waste time. She has a happiness about her. I've seen both extremes. I've seen women who, through financial hardships or maybe even the disability that her husband suffers from, she's had no option but to work outside the home to earn money. But she spends her early mornings and her evenings and her weekends tirelessly serving her family and making her home a priority. And she lives a hard life. I know and have known women like this. The other extreme, though, I've seen moms who don't have to work outside the home. They spend half their day on the phone, the other half on Facebook. They're trying to make every day of their life like one giant spa experience. They waste inordinate amounts of time. And then they say, look at me, I'm obeying the Lord. I'm a stay-at-home mom. It's about how you use time and how we use the time the Lord has given us. And in fact, verse 14 gives this exaggerated illustration. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. Now, what's this exaggeration about? You get food, we just go to the grocery store, right? In these little villages that we might be talking about in Palestine, you got the food that was locally available, and there probably wasn't a whole lot of variety. I mean, there's more variety in one aisle of our current grocery store than you had in a whole village. But this is a woman who says, I'm not just going to feed the regular stuff. I'm going to go all out to feed my family in a way that's excellent, that's pleasing, that makes her children rise up and call her blessed. She doesn't just do the bare minimum. By the way, this is a woman who can afford servants. She has employees. But I want you to notice something. Look at verse 15. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She doesn't have servants to make her personal life a life of ease. She has servants to multiply her efforts. And in fact, what's she doing? She's serving them. She's making food for them. She's being a servant. She uses her time wisely. In fact, she uses her time so wisely that she's gotten a cottage industry going. She's helping her husband with likely what is the family business. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. The fruit of her hands, apparently she's been saving money. She's been saving to invest for her husband and for her family and invests in a vineyard. She's improving the family estate, always clearly focused on the home. And look at what her approach is to being a worker at home. Verse 17, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. This is the idea of having an attitude of determination, an attitude of strength. Young men, again, if you marry a young lady who perceives it's your job to provide her with an effortless, spoiled, princess-like existence, instead of having a helpmate, you're going to have a hindrance mate. You're going to have somebody who is just difficult to deal with because she doesn't help you, she actually hinders you. On the other hand, if you see a young lady who loves the Lord and is hardworking, marry her quick before she gets to know you too well. Just grab a hold of her. This godly woman, this is a very poignant verse. Verse 18, she has a moment of reflection. Have you ever taken these moments where you just stop and you look back at your life and you evaluate what you're doing and you find out, is what I'm doing worthy? Am I spending the short amount of time the Lord gives me in a godly way? Well, look at her evaluation. This is very emotional. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. This isn't just speaking of physical goods. This is speaking of her life. Isn't it good to be able to look at your life, look at your husband, look at your children, look at your home, and say, God has allowed me to do a good thing. That's a wonderful feeling to have, that the product of her life is good. And by the way, the lamp does not go out at night. It doesn't mean that she stays up all night. Verse 15 tells us that she rises while it's still night. She has to sleep sometime. The only time a lamp went out was when it ran out of oil. The fact that her lamp doesn't go out at night, what that means is that she tends her home well, that she manages all the things in her home, all is in order. The cupboards aren't always bare. The kids aren't always wondering, where's food? She has everything in order. But she manages her time so well that in addition to helping with the family business, while she's making clothing for her own family, she makes extra. Look at verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Now, there's a debate about this whole passage. Is this portraying a woman at one point in her life? And most of you ladies are saying, I hope not. She looks really, really busy. Or is it portraying a woman at various stages in her life? And frankly, obviously, different stages of life give different amounts of work, different opportunities. I think there's a third option, though, that's the best way to view this passage, and it's just a more generic view. I think she's just simply living a hardworking lifestyle of fearing God by means of serving her family, because you see both ideas. The lifetime, you see in verse 12, she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. But then you see a day in the life, verse 15, she rises while it is yet night. So all of these things are in play to just create a lifestyle of fearing God by means of working in the home. This is a busy woman with right priorities. Somebody asked me once, okay, as a woman, how do I know that my priorities are straight? And so I gave her a list of suggested questions. The questions we asked was, are you emotionally and physically available to your husband as your top priority? Another question, are you seeking to assist your husband to excel in that which God has called him to do? Another question, are your children well cared for, taught? Are they disciplined? Is your home a welcoming place of order or an unwelcoming place of chaos? And are you seeking the Lord in prayer and in the Word? This particular woman got inspired, and you could see the light bulbs go on. She said, I'm like God's given administrative assistant to my husband to make his life really go forward. Yes, she was so excited about that, she asked her husband for a meeting. She got out a notebook and a pen and said, how can I make your life super effective? And boy, it bonded them together in wonderful ways. If all those things are happening, then a woman can insert anything else she wants. We're free in Christ to enjoy life. A happy wife loves her husband, loves her children. She's self-controlled. She's pure. She's a worker at home. She's also kind. She's very kind. Now, verses 19 and 20, this is the center of the poem as far as the literary structure of the poem. The focus is on what she does with her hands. I want you to notice this focus. Verse 19, she puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's making clothing, this time not for her family, not to sell, but to give to the poor. Look, in a culture where having one or two sets of clothing was common, to receive an entire new set of clothing as a gift was huge. That's like getting a new car in our culture. That was a big deal. Think about this. She's smart, she's hardworking, but the natural outflow of her fear of God, her fear of the Lord, is to be compassionate and to love others. This isn't a cold, dispassionate, writing a check to the local charity. This is reaching out her hand to the needy. There's relationship, there's warmth, there's interaction, there is affection, there's a personal touch. And this is how we are to see the church lived out, right? This is church life. The church is where the body of Christ ministers to one another. Romans 12, verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. This isn't a cold, distant, business-like woman. She's warm, she's caring, exactly as God would have her to be. She's kind. She has a warmth, a touch to her. A happy wife loves her husband. She loves her children. She's self-controlled. She's pure. She's a worker at home. She's kind. She's submissive to her own husband as well. She's submissive to her own husband. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Business was conducted at the gates of the city. This is where deals were made, bargains were struck. It's very likely her husband was also maybe a town elder, one of the leaders of the local economy, the local government. In this culture, though, the city gates was also, this is where Jews swapped information. This was where CNN and Fox News all came together at once. Every bit of information came. It was where the community shared gossip. It's where the community shared about their families. If a man was living a miserable life because his wife was making him miserable, it was not uncommon for Proverbs to be quoted to him that another man might say, well, it is better to live in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. And everyone would say, amen, yes, we understand, we know this. But in this case, this man is known in the gates. He's known as the man with the wife that everyone else wishes he had. He's known because she's not contentious, she's kind, she's self-controlled, she is submissive. She loves her husband and her children in tangible ways. And he comes and he says, have you heard about what my wife did? And the other men say, I don't want to hear about it. At the city gate, men would talk about their families. And this man, he says to his wife and certainly to others, her husband blesses her and he praises her. Verse 29, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Put it this way, this guy believes he got the best deal on earth. He believes that she is the ultimate. Her priorities show her life is a witness to her love for God. By the way, men, rise up and bless your wife. Don't wait for her to attain this standard. If she attained this standard, you don't deserve her anyway. So just don't wait. Don't wait for her to attain. This is a lifetime pursuit. Let her know specifically in what ways you appreciate her. Make that your goal. Make that your challenge all the time to appreciate her. A happy wife loves her husband. She loves her children. She's self-controlled. She's pure. She's a worker at home. She's kind. She's submissive to her husband. And finally, a happy wife doesn't dishonor God's word. She doesn't dishonor God's word. Look at verse 10, right where we began. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. This is Holy Spirit-inspired text. This is what God believes a wife is to be as an excellent wife. This is a woman who doesn't dishonor God. Now, follow my logic here. The Word of God says, tells us what a woman who's following God strives to be. She's one who says she fears God, and her life demonstrates that she fears God. In other words, she's living proof that a transformed life has happened. She's living proof that when the scriptures say you repent of your sin, you become a new creation, she shows that it's true and that it's real. The evidence of her salvation is laced through this passage. Verse 21, she's not afraid. She trusts in the Lord. She doesn't live a life of fear anymore. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. She doesn't live a life of continual worry about the future. She's done her best to prepare, and since she fears God, she literally can laugh at the future. Christians are the only people on earth who can just laugh at the future and say, whatever, I'm going to heaven anyway. God is sovereign. He's in control. I'm well protected. We can laugh at the future. We can step on a rusty nail and laugh. Okay, well, I haven't been to the emergency room this year. I guess it's time to go. Anything can happen to us, and we can rejoice. We can laugh. We can say, it doesn't matter. She is a woman with faith. She doesn't dishonor God's word. I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. It's very impactful to me. I hope it will be to you. A college friend of mine played on the football team. We were roommates. And he loved the Lord, and he took a stand for Christ and for the gospel, along with several other young men on the team. And we were walking one day, and he said, can I tell you something? But you can't tell anybody, so I guess I'm breaking that promise right now. But he told me about a guy on the football team that was just bothering him and his friends because he openly proclaimed his Christian faith. He talked about Christ all the time and yet was openly and clearly living an immoral and debauched life. His life and his words didn't match. Well, what my friend told me, he says, I got to confess something to you. All right, what'd you do? And he said, the other day, he and his buddies got this guy in an elevator on one of the dormitories on the campus. It was the tallest building. They pushed the button for the top floor, and as soon as the door shut, these guys got their friend by the scruff of the shirt, put him up on the wall, and said, either stop telling people you're a Christian or start acting like one or else. That's a whole new form of church discipline I've never heard of. Guy quit proclaiming Christ. He never said another word because his life was showing he was not saved. This man was dishonoring the word of God, which says that a believer is a new creation. A woman who claims to be living a life in fear of God but lives like all the other unsaved women of the world, she dishonors God, she dishonors his word, and frankly becomes a cause for others to reject God because the gospel is not lived out. But this woman, she's praised because her faith is real. It's lived out faithfully in her home, and she will receive a reward for this. Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. The qualities of a happy wife: she loves her husband, she loves her children, she's self-controlled, she's pure, she's a worker at home, she's kind, she's submissive to her husband, she doesn't dishonor God's word. Now, those of you who are familiar with the scriptures know that these qualities are found in the New Testament. I didn't make these up. This is consistent all through the Bible. Would you turn with me to Titus chapter 2? Titus chapter 2 instructs us in the basics of Christian living. It addresses older men, it addresses younger men, it addresses older women, it addresses younger women, it addresses slaves, it addresses masters, all areas of life. Titus chapter 2 speaks to the women who are still running their homes. A young woman scripturally is defined as one with children still in the home. Here's what the Apostle Paul says, Titus 2 verse 4, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Now, context is everything. This isn't just a list of rules that we begrudgingly attempt to go by. Look at verse 1. As for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. When it says what accords with sound doctrine, it doesn't mean just teach sound doctrine. It means teach those things that fit, that go together, that make sense with sound doctrine. What's the logical response? In other words, because God is sovereign, because God is holy, because God is just, because he's merciful, because he sent his son to die for our sins, because he is kind, he's gracious, he's faithful, because he's the creator of the universe and the recreator of my heart in Christ, what's my motivation? What do I do in response to this? Verse 2. Be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, in steadfastness. Older women, be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not slaves to wine. Teach what is good. Young women, love your husbands. Be self-controlled, be pure, be working at home, be kind, submissive, that the word of God may not be reviled. Younger men, be self-controlled. Show yourselves in all respects to be a model of good works. Teach those things that show integrity and dignity, have soundness of speech. Slaves, be submissive to your masters, not pilfering, showing all good faith, that in everything you may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. In other words, why do we do the things that are pleasing to the Lord? Because verse 11 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of our glory, of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ladies, why should you endeavor to be a P31 woman? Very simply, because Christ is coming. And verse 14 says he's purifying for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. And can I put it this way? And then you won't just be spoken of in the city gates by those who observe your life. You will be spoken of in the halls of heaven by the one who redeemed your life. That's a great goal for a woman. May God grant our precious women the joy and the satisfaction of following the Lord faithfully to be the helpmates that he designed you to be, not out of obligation, but out of love for Christ, because he's coming back, and we look forward to that day. Our Father, it's with joy that we come to you asking you to help us to obey you. Lord, as we spoke about 2 weeks ago, I pray for the men here that they would be men who worship well and men who lead well. And for the ladies, Lord, help them to thrive and to be happy and joy-filled as they follow after you. Lord, our families are precious to us. They are the gift that you have given. Our marriages, Lord, are the picture of God's love for Israel, the picture of Christ's love for the church. Help us, Lord, to be as men, godly men, and as women, to be godly women. And Lord, as we have the distinct privilege and honor of partaking of the Lord's table right now, I pray that our focus would be solely on Christ, completely on the work that he has done on our behalf that we could not do. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.